Hello, I'm John Hilton, editor at the Cochrane Editorial Unit. Welcome to the November 2011 roundup from the Cochrane Library. The November issue includes 46 new Cochrane reviews and 39 updates, and in this roundup we feature two reviews relating to the care of older people, and a new review of methods for obtaining unpublished data. The first of our featured Cochrane reviews this month looks at a technique called cognitive reframing. This is a way of helping people who care for others. It aims to reduce carers' stress by changing their beliefs about their responsibilities, their own need for support, and why their relatives behave as they do. The new review looks at this in the context of carers of people with dementia, exploring whether cognitive reframing could provide one element of the psychosocial interventions that might help them cope. Meera Virnooyidasan from the University Medical Centre Nijmegen in the Netherlands outlines the findings of this new review.
There is good evidence that psychosocial interventions help caregivers of people with dementia and delay the need for their relatives to enter an institution. These interventions involve multiple mechanisms of action, but appear to be more successful when they are tailor-made and offer a choice of interventions. It is important, therefore, to try to identify the key ingredients within these complex approaches and re-evaluate the effects on the carer of one element in this review of cognitive reframing. Cognitive reframing is a component of cognitive behavioral therapy and seeks to change a person's core beliefs about something. In dementia care, cognitive reframing intervention focus on the family carer's maladaptive self-defeating or distressing feelings about the behavior of their relatives and about their own performance in the caring role. We found 11 trials in which carers of people with dementia had been randomly allocated to receive the cognitive reframing intervention of a different or a different approach. These trials included approximately 1,500 people, with most of the studies being reported in the last decade. We could not include all of the studies in all of our analysis, but when we were able to pull the findings in meta-analysis, we found a significant beneficial effect of cognitive reframing interventions on family carers' psychological mobility. The effects were most clear for anxiety, depression, and subjective stress, but no differences were seen for their appraisals of coping or burden. Our findings support the use of the general cognitive reframing model for carers of people with dementia. The results suggest that this may be an effective component of individualized, multi-component interventions for family carers and worthy of inclusion in these packages.
You can read full details about this review and more than 80 other reviews on aspects of dementia at thecochranelibrary.com. Another of the challenges that face us as we get older is the increased risk of a fall, and some of the most read reviews in the Cochrane Library look at the evidence for preventing these falls. Tracy Howe from Glasgow Caledonian University and Glasgow City of Science in the UK tells us about a recent update of one of those reviews, looking at ways to improve balance.
Diminished ability to maintain balance may be associated with an increased risk of falling. In older adults, falls commonly lead to injury, loss of independence, associated illness, and early death. Our extensive updating of this Cochrane review reveals that some exercise types are moderately effective immediately after the intervention in improving balance in older people. Good balance and mobility are essential to help you perform most activities in everyday life, as well as many recreational pursuits. Keeping your balance is a complex task, involving the coordination between your muscles and the sensors which detect balance and are part of the nervous system. In older people, many factors add together to reduce a person's ability to keep in balance. These include reduced muscle strength, stiff joints, delayed reaction times, and changes in the sensory system. Therefore, there are many different approaches to helping older people to improve their balance, and in this Cochrane review, we set out to examine the effects of exercise. We considered all randomized trials of exercise in older people and have included 94 studies with just under 10,000 participants. 62 of the trials are included for the first time in this update. The trials all compared some form of exercise with usual care or activities that did not include an exercise intervention. Overall, the quality of reporting of studies was low. In particular, we found potential problems with how the randomization was done, how awareness of which randomization group participants were in, which might have led to bias, and loss to follow-up. The meta-analyses revealed moderate improvements in simple clinical measures of balance among older people undertaking some types of exercise. These interventions included gait, balance, coordination, and functional tasks. Strengthening exercises, including resistance or power training. Three-dimensional exercise, including Tai Chi, Qigong, dance, and yoga. And multiple exercise types, which are combinations of the above. The measures of balance included the timed up and go test, walking speed, standing on one leg for as long as possible with eyes open or closed, and the Berg balance scale. Although the duration and frequency of the different exercises programs varied, in general, the effective programs ran 3 times a week for 3 months. And involved exercises that challenged people's balance while they were standing. Interestingly, we found that walking and cycling generally do not improve balance, although they may have many other beneficial effects. Having looked through all of this existing research, it's clear that certain types of exercise do have the potential to be a safe and effective way to improve balance in older people. However, there are still many questions to answer, and future research will make this easier if it uses standardized, accurate outcome measures, ideally from within an agreed core set of outcomes. Clearly reports all the parameters of exercise and provides longer-term follow-up of the participants.
Tracy's review included 94 randomized trials, 64 of which are new to this update. And the full review in the Cochrane Library includes details of each of these studies and the criteria used to select them. Cochrane methodology reviews provide an evidence base for the conduct of systematic reviews and other research. One aspect of review conduct that can be time-consuming or frustrating is the process of obtaining unpublished data, such as information from studies that have never been published, or data that were available to the original researchers but not included in their publications. If unpublished data aren't sought and included in a systematic review, this can result in biased larger treatment effects, so it is important to try to include these data. Taryn Young from Stellenbosch University in South Africa and Sally Hopewell from the Centre for Statistics in Medicine in Oxford, England, have done a systematic review of methods for obtaining such data. Taryn explains more.
Authors of systematic reviews often spend considerable amounts of time trying to obtain unpublished data from studies they wish to include in their review. This includes data for studies where nothing at all has been published as either an abstract or full text paper, which we call unpublished data, as well as data that were available to the original researchers but were not reported in the published abstract or the full text publication, which we call missing data. In doing our Cochrane methodology review, we wanted to assess the effects of different methods for obtaining both unpublished and missing data. And we did these by looking for research that compared different techniques. After checking nearly 5,000 potentially eligible reports, we found 6 studies that met the inclusion criteria. 2 were randomized studies and 2 were observational comparative studies. 5 studies, which included the 2 randomized studies and 3 observational studies, assess methods for obtaining missing data. 2 of these found that email correspondence with the original authors resulted in a greater response rate, needing fewer attempts and with the shortest time to respond. In a single study, the difference between a single request for missing information and a multi-stage approach was not significant for response rate or for completeness of the information retrieved. Another study compared requests for clarification of methods with requests for numerical information, and the clarification had the greatest response. A well-known signatory was also shown to not have a significant effect on the likelihood of authors responding to a request for missing data. And finally, one study assessed the number of attempts made to obtain missing information and found that the number of items requested did not influence the probability of the response, while multiple attempts using the same methods also did not increase the likelihood of response. One sole observational comparative study which assessed methods for obtaining unpublished data were identified. And this study found that identifying unpublished studies ahead of time and then asking the pharmaceutical industry to provide further specific detail proved to be more fruitful than non-specific requests. In conclusion, people carrying out systematic reviews should continue to contact authors for data that have not been included in published reports, but they need to recognize that this might not always be successful, particularly for older studies. And when choosing a method, email seems to be the most effective and efficient in terms of obtaining missing data.
You can read Taryn's review in the November issue of the Cochrane Library. Also in the November issue is an editorial on the Evidence Aid Initiative, which aims to improve access to reliable information during natural disasters and other humanitarian emergencies. You can read more at thecochranelibrary.com, and you can find out more about Evidence Aid at www.evidenceaid.org. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this monthly roundup from the Cochrane Library.